Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Now, last week, I began to talk on what I call the force of faith, and we took our text from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, reading from verse 4. It says that the proud man, his soul is not right within him. He said, but the righteous or the just shall live by his faith. And I explained that to live by faith is slightly different from what we call walking by faith. A man who is living by faith is a man who has acquired life because he's walking by faith. That is, when the situation said he should die, the man is alive. When the doctor said that this man should die, the man is still alive. That person is said to have lived by faith. But how did he acquire that life? It's because God spoke something and he believed it. That Habakkuk chapter 2 that we read, I explained that in chapter 1, God was describing judgment that was going to come, and that the vision in which he was describing the judgment was to be written very plainly. And anyone who will believe it will take certain actions because he has seen the vision. He said, but the one who is proud, who says the prophet does not know what he's saying, who says that even though God were to open the windows of heaven, like he said in 2 Kings chapter 7, can this prophecy of this man of God come to pass? He said, such a one is a proud one. People who will sit down, and I've had personal discussions several times with people when it has to do with our nation, they will look at the things that have happened before, and they will judge that nothing good can come out of this land. And though I am prophesying and declaring the counsel of God for their lives and for the nation, that yet again good shall arise out of this land. They will say, is it possible? So they make nothing of such words, and they take no actions to help them benefit from the prophetic word. The Bible calls such people proud, and it said that their souls are not upright within them. He said, but in contrast to this, contrary to the lifestyle that you are seeing described, that I just described, is a man who the Bible calls the righteous man or the just man. He said, this man shall acquire life. Where he will have died, he will live, because he believed the things that were spoken. I said something last week, and I'd like to say it again. Christianity is not about going to church. The aim of God was not to build big churches so that we will say we belong to this denomination, and say our denomination is the biggest. On Sunday, our church gathers the largest number of people, and in that place, I am the chief usher. I usher the largest number of people gathering in any assembly on Sunday. In fact, I am a good Christian. When you get to an office, you want to introduce yourself, you remember to put the word deacon in front so that you know you are a good Christian. Now, that is not the aim of Christianity. What's the aim of Christianity? Jesus came to introduce the power of life. He said, you have heard of Jesus Christ, how God anointed him, and he went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. That is Christianity. It's not that the man's either going to church. No, that is good. That's where he gets to be trained with the word of God. He gets his life washed by the washing of water by the word. But the real Christianity is outside. If you see in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul was describing there that Jesus gave gifts unto men. He said he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said, for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry. That is, the people were supposed to go out, having been edified in church, to go out and go and do the work of ministry. What is the work of ministry? When somebody will go out and they will say that, you see, these executive producers or these movie producers, they never allow any fine young girl to rise except they sleep with the girl. You get my point? That is working with Satan. Are you getting me? But a man comes out and say, God has given me the gift and the talent to become a director, a producer. Another one says, I have the money to be an executive producer. And God gives them the market. God gives them the films to write. God gives them the ability to control the industry. And they start recruiting young girls without looking at their flesh at all, just for their skill. They start recruiting young men, not for any other reason, but for them to be productive and to bless the lives of people. Then righteousness begins to thrive in that community, in the film industry. Then that man is doing what? Ministry. Do you get my point? I'm explaining that Christianity is about imparting life into dead situations. People will tell you that if you can't get admission except you cheat. Recently, massive In fact, I heard the whole of WAEC questions they was cancelled because it leaked ordinary WAEC. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Now, universities had to start, all right, doing post-jump tests just to be sure that the person who scored 400 over 400 really can spell his name correctly. You know, interesting things that we began to see. You know, people go and say, no, you can never make it except you participate in such things. God said, no, I will train my people. They will go under the ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers who will edify them for the work of the ministry. They will come out of church and go into ministry of education. They will come out of church and go into JAMB offices. They will come out of church and become officials in WAEC. They will come out of church and build their own schools, secondary schools, and universities. And in those places, righteousness will thrive. Do you follow my point? That is the aim of Christianity, that God said to Abraham. He said, I will bless you so much, you will be a blessing. Look, Christianity is not about the quality of your church building. Christianity is not the title you hold inside the church, but is how you went to church, imbibed the truth of God, and you used that power of righteousness. You came out into the world and you changed things so that you will go into a government office. You are a politician. You have been elected. Everybody will know. Before they hear that you are a Christian, they have already known that your life is different. It's later on somebody will give them an explanation that it is because it's a Christian. Not that the one you go to Christian community, go and campaign amongst Christians. You know I am one of you. You know I am one of you. You know I was in church. I can show you my tithe record. My pastor knows me. I'm very diligent. Though I was a big man, I was an usher in church. Now, that does not impress me. Some of the big men ushers in churches don't pay their staff regularly, and they call themselves Christian. Let me tell you, you are an unbeliever. Do you follow my point? The fact that you are chief usher in your church does not make you a good Christian. If you're a boss, you don't pay your staff regularly, no matter how much you usher, no matter how much you kneel down on the pulpit, no matter how loud you shout your amen in church, you are a bad Christian. Do you follow my point? As a boss, the strength of your Christianity is demonstrated in how you are dealing with your employees, not how you deal with your pastor. Listen to me. That's something Jesus Christ said, and we must understand it. Jesus Christ, he said something, that when I want to test you, I won't show up as Jesus Christ. Because I know, I'm paraphrasing many stories now, because I know if I show up as Jesus Christ, you will give me anything. He said, who wants to give his last car to the Lord, you will bring it. Who wants to give his last meal, the Lord is hungry, you will bring it. We know, because you are supposedly a good Christian. He said, when I want to show up, I don't show up like that. I show up as a child that is hungry. I show up as somebody in need. I show up as one of your employees, your gate man in the office. You understand? I show up as your great man in the office who needs a favor from your hands. And I want to watch how you will treat me. He said, Lord, when did we see you and did not help you? When were you sick and we did not visit you? When were you in prison that we did not come to seek after your welfare? We never saw you and we never did that to you. He said, in that you did not do it to the least of my brethren, you did not do it to me. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? I'm trying to emphasize that the power of Christianity is not about the church organization or the church building, but that the man who has been to that building comes out from the building and goes out into the open and begins to demonstrate the power of life. Do you follow me? For the world to see. That is where things were dead. People say, we thought this company would die, but since we appointed this man as the CEO of the company, look at it, there has been a turnaround. Do you understand? The man may have come there riding his old 504 and left after 5 years, still riding the same old 504. Nobody remembers him, that this man didn't have a good car or had a good car. What they will remember is that for 5 years, this man was here. Do you follow? The company grew from a turnover of 10 million naira a year to a turnover of 15 billion naira a year. Our staff number increased from 20 to 500. Do you understand? The part of Africa we covered was no longer Eastern Nigeria, but we covered the whole of Nigeria, the whole of West Africa, the whole of Africa, and we were already spreading to the rest of the world when he moved on to other things. And in all these extra people that he employed, there was never a day that he owed salaries. There was never a time that somebody was sick and we did not have adequate health insurance to cover the person's bills. That's what makes that man a good Christian. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Daniel in the Bible, that's what made him a good man. That was what he was known for. It was not the fact that the man didn't eat food like everybody else, or the fact that the man prayed. They only started noticing that the man used to pray when they tried to find things wrong that he was doing. And the testimony was that when it came to the affairs of government, the matters of the king, there was no negligence or any issue of corruption to be found with this Daniel. And the king had made up his mind that this is the most efficient person here. I am going to make him the head minister above all my ministers. That was when conspiracy arose. I said, if this man becomes the chief, but it has ended. All the urukuruku we used to do, it has come to an end. Therefore, they began to connive to ensure that he didn't make it. That was when they now said, the only way we can make him do something wrong, we make a law against his religion. So his lifestyle becomes an offense in the nation. What am I trying to explain? That Christianity is a power of life. Christianity is the power of life, is the ability to convert things that were dead into the ones that are living. Do you follow my point? And as you know, we started talking about the force of faith. And that is what faith is about. Faith, I said, is a force. He said in that Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, he said, the just shall acquire life by his faith. That is, when things were going to go wrong, because of faith, he will acquire life. He will produce life in the midst of darkness. You are getting the point I'm trying to make there. So what are we trying to teach is these principles of faith. How can we walk by faith and produce life? How can we walk by faith and please God? Do you understand my point? Because once we are walking in a manner pleasing to God, then the force of life will come out of our system, all right? And it will affect the things that are around us. Please, I need to say this again, because you see, you never can say these things enough until people have heard it enough and it has become a part of their lives. Listen, people don't prosper because of the environment. The environment prospers because of people. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? God told the children of Israel at the time, he said, because of you, the sky withheld its dew, and the rain is no longer falling. He says, because of you. When God was going to curse Adam, he said, cursed is the ground because of you. Adam was more important than the ground. Are you following what I'm trying to say? Take the economy of a nation. The economy of nations prosper because of people. People don't prosper because of the economy. The governments of nations prosper. They become good because there are good people inside there. Not the other way around. It is not the government that makes the people good. Please, I want us to understand this. That you and I are important when it comes to progress for our nation. You and I are important when it comes to a change for the better in our society. We cannot sit down and be pointing fingers as them, the people, the government. Do you get my point? You wonder who we are talking about. I thank God Nigeria is not a country that has a king. That he said it is a king and all his children. All right? Politicians go, politicians come. You follow me? What we are teaching is that we want a new generation of politicians who are men of faith and women of faith. Because if they have faith in them, life will be produced into our government because of their faith. Please, this is important. And there's something I want to define here. So that we'll get this point very clear. Let's quickly open to the book of Hebrews chapter 11. Now, that's one chapter of the Bible that you cannot do without reading if you have to talk about faith. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. He said, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Two important verses I want to highlight here. Verse 1 says that there are two kinds of faith. There is faith as the substance of things hoped for, and there is faith as the evidence of things not seen. Then the second and very important verse also, verse 3, says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed or prepared by the word of God, and there is a principle here, that the things that we see did not arise out of that which was visible. Now, I'd like to explain the third verse before I go back to the first verse, all right? Now, this is something I have explained again and again. A few weeks ago, I did a series, 18 messages in all, which incidentally, I would like everybody to get a copy. We have it available as a single MP3 CD, creating the opportunities for prosperity. 18 messages, I remember. And for the first 5 or 6 messages, I kept emphasizing the centrality of the matters of the invisible in producing that which is visible outside. And this was where I took it from. That by faith we know that anything that we see outwardly first existed in the unseen realm. There's something I want you to understand from there. That means that we cannot predict that which will happen tomorrow, naturally speaking. All right? From that which had already happened in the past, naturally speaking. Do you follow my point? My best example is this. You know, sometimes you see, and this one, I think is a good lesson. Let me just as an example so everybody can learn it. A young woman wants to get married. And there are about, let's say, 4 different men who want to marry her. Now, people without understanding, this is how they judge. Because let me tell you something. Everybody wants to be happy in life. And there is nobody who is signing up for hunger in the name of righteousness. I don't want to be hungry in life, really. I don't want to be in lack. I want to prosper. I want to have the good things of life. It is just that I have to put them in their proper places. Those things must be secondary to my pleasing God. Do you get my point? I like one thing that Jesus explained to Satan during the temptation. He told him that, look at all these things. I can give them to you if you will worship me. And Jesus said, it is written, you shall serve the Lord thy God alone, and he's the only one that you will worship. Now, there are different lessons to pick from that. The thing I want to bring out is that he was explaining that there are two different ways to get things in life. There are things you get by worshiping Satan, and there are things you get by worshiping God. That's what Jesus was saying, in effect. That I don't want the one I will get by worshiping Satan. I don't want the one that I will get by breaking all the moral laws that God has taught me. That's what it means to worship Satan. So we are saying that we want those good things of life, but we have to get them as a result of the worship of God. That's what we are saying. Now, so the young woman is there, and they say, okay, which husband of these four would you like to marry? The way most people would choose is that because they don't want to suffer in life, they look, okay, who is the guy who has built a house? Who is the guy whose business is already turning over a millionaire a month? Who is the guy that comes to my house in the biggest car? You know why they are doing that? There are a number of reasons. The most important of the reasons is because they believe that this is the guy who will be able to give me a comfortable life. Now, let me tell you something. God said that the things that we see are not made out of the things that are visible. That is, in 10 years' time, what you will see then cannot be explained by what you are seeing today. You can see a man who is very hungry and who is very, very poor. And they will tell you his story. 10 years ago, he was very wealthy and he was in great abundance. Do you understand my point? They will say, what happened? Now, let me tell you what. What happened is actually invisible. And people with keen spiritual eyes will have seen it 10 years before. It's just that it is not the thing that is outside. You know, a few nights ago, they were watching a Nigerian movie in my house. And I watched a few minutes of it. And it was interesting. I saw this man sitting on the table. And his wife's brother was insulting him. That you're a useless man. You're a very stupid man, you know. And the guy, he couldn't even get angry. He just put his head down. After everybody left, he said, eh, so now I'm a foolish man. No? I'm a stupid man. I'm a useless man. A few years ago, when I was giving all of you plenty of money, I was not foolish that time. Then it dawned on me that a few years ago, he had a big business. A few years ago, he had a lot of money. And then he was not a foolish man. What does that tell us? The man who's rich today can become poor tomorrow. What am I saying? The young woman who has spiritual intelligence doesn't look outwardly because he knows that that which you see outside can change. The one that was down can be up tomorrow. David, when he was going to answer his wife, Michal, explaining why he was dancing so vigorously until he stripped himself naked before the ark of God, he said, it was that God who took me from being a shepherd boy and made me king in Israel in replacement, all right, of the king that was there. It's before that God that I'm dancing. You follow the point I make? And when Samuel was going to upbraid Saul for not obeying the word of God, he said, were you not small in your own eyes? Yet God made you. That tells me something. God can make anybody, no matter how small he is. And God explained to Nebuchadnezzar through the dream. He explained that the Almighty rules in the affairs of men and gives the kingdom of men to whosoever he wishes and sets upon it the lowliest of men. That is, the lowliest person becomes the greatest one. I'm trying to explain this verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 11. So the young woman who has spiritual understanding should have looked beyond that which is physical. And you see, we're not discussing that in details now, but I just like to give us an example. I said the most important thing you should look at is how a man talks. Do you follow my point? You should be afraid of a man who is proud and whose faith is in his money. If you see a man who is proud and whose faith is in his money, run away from him. No matter what he offers you, marry me and I will take you all over the world, run away from him. Do you understand my point? But if you see a young man that have the visions of God, when I was talking about how to bring forth the visions of God in your life, I discussed that. I explained that the visions of God does not just mean that you dreamt and God showed you a vision. That if you have a vision of how to positively impact your environment, impact your society, a man who's always dreaming of that, that you look at him and he tells you that we're going to build a company and the company will be big and we're going to employ people and we're going to be able to fix this part of the nation. And you see him talking positively about the things that he wants to do. And not only is he talking, you notice that the little way by which he can do it, he's doing it currently. Are you getting my point? And you look at him and say, why are you talking so big? You don't even have plenty of money. Your father is not rich. I said, don't worry. One day, a man who's talking like that and he sounds confident, I always say, take advantage of the position. Marry him. Do you understand my point? Yeah, seriously. Marry him. Because no plane takes passengers while it is flying. It's usually why they are still on the ground before they take off. That's when God opens the doors, gives you the opportunity. We're on the ground now, please join the flight. We're on the ground now, please join the flight. Because once they shut the doors, are you getting me? And we start taxiing and we take off into the air, no matter how much, hey, wait, pilot, I'm your friend. It's too late. The plane has taken off. What am I going to explain? That the things that we see are not made out of the things that are visible. Are you getting my point? Let me get practical another way again. Therefore, people look and say, America is the greatest nation in the world. That's where we should go. Nigeria is a corrupt nation. We shouldn't go near there. Do you follow my point? They look and say, according to the current happenings, physically speaking, we cannot see great things happening tomorrow. And I'm telling you that faith says we cannot decide the things that will happen tomorrow by observing the physical things that are happening today. Do you understand my point? We have to look beyond that which is physical. What am I trying to explain? That the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That is, the word that God has spoken, which we are speaking today, is what we decide what tomorrow will be, not what the past has been like. Do you follow my point? Listen, let me say it again. Tomorrow is created by words today. It is not a result of what yesterday was like. Therefore, I am unable to predict what any nation will be like tomorrow, apart from the one that I live in which I have spiritual energy and I have the power of words. One of the things I found out about, you know, maybe living in a foreign country, I've talked to many people. Most of the people I know that live in foreign countries, they always have a dream of coming back home. Do you know why? Because since I was young, I used to hear this statement. They say, east or west, north or south, home is the best. Now, you know, then, as a young person, you don't understand really what they mean, all right? But later I understood it. I've talked to people who have lived for years in America. They have lived for years in Europe. They have prospered in those places. There's none that hasn't said to me that one day we have to come back home. Let me explain the reason. It's a spiritual reason. I don't know how God did it. It's a spiritual reason. But there's an outward manifestation of it. No matter how successful you are, no matter how long you have lived in America, if you were not born an American, you can never become an American president. You can't. You have to be born an American. Now, there's something I want to bring up from there. Everybody wants purpose in life. They want to be able to affect life and know that I have positively affected my generation. Now, usually when you are in a place where you are not recognized as one of the people, it is difficult for you to dream great dreams for that nation. Are you getting my point? Let us assume now you went to America as a 25-year-old man and you get there. You will never dream of developing Atlanta. It's a matter of fact, let's not fool ourselves. You will never dream of improving the healthcare system of America. What do you dream of? Of milking your own portion as much as you can. And put it in your pocket. Now, unfortunately, after you have done that, you will discover the vanity of life. You will suddenly realize that where it matters to somebody is where he counts. That they will give you the opportunity, all right, to exchange all of that money, to be able to turn around the educational system in your local government, and you will take it. You want to wake up in the morning. I know you have set out to go and make these children well educated. You know you want to wake up in the morning and know that today, my goal for today is to provide water for all my uncles and distant cousins, everyone who lives in this local government. You want to wake up and say, okay, they say no graduate or no professional will come out from our village. I have come to turn that around. You wake up every morning. Why do you think all these ex-presidents start jumping all over the world? Jimmy Carter wants to remove Guinea worm, and he's doing that very well. Global 2000, he called it then. He finished the Guinea worm. He wants to make peace everywhere. Listen, my friend, when you become an ex-president, you realize that you're a jobless person. And money is no longer a problem. You want to start fighting for the preservation of the ozone layer. Al Gore lost the election, American presidential election. He started fighting against global warming. Last year, they gave him and some people, is it Nobel Prize he got? Everybody wants to be important. And one of the places in life where it is hardest to be important is a foreign country. It's very hard. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's very hard. But it's so hard that nobody plots for it. John Fashanu was a big star in England. They ran down home to start doing things in Nigeria because of the name Fashanu. There's nobody in life that does not want to be important. Do you get the point I'm making? So I'm explaining something. So you find out that people will say that, okay, oh, This nation is prosperous. That's where we should go. But later on, they discover that, no, it's not really like that. But what am I trying to explain? You cannot even decide which nation will be prosperous tomorrow by what is going on there today. The only thing, that's what I was trying to explain, that there is a place where you have power. I, personally, there is a place, I'm not talking about physical power. Who do I know in government in Nigeria? Nobody. Am I a politician? No. But listen, friends, if I get on my knees and I groom for this nation, God hears. I can't groom for America. I can't. No matter how much I go there or don't go there, I can't groom for them. Sometimes people tell me, let us pray for what? Say missionaries who are in Rwanda. Honestly, if those of you can pray, please go ahead. Apart from watching problems on television, I don't know much about Rwanda. So what about the missionaries that have gone to Denmark? I don't know any Danish person in my whole life. When if you say, now let us begin to pray for missionaries, as you start praying, I start thinking, whether my wife don't cook or, my mind will just drift. But if you just whisper to me that, brethren, we are hearing rumors of riots in some northern cities, do you know, when I start praying, I can't fall asleep? Are you getting my point? If you tell me that, even when we are hearing rumors that there might just be forest scarcity, I still start praying. You get the point I'm trying to make. That is because I have a spiritual connection. That's why the Bible talks about the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. If you go and read that scripture in the Amplified Bible, it said the effectual, heartfelt prayer. Listen to me. If the whole of Boston sinks tomorrow, unless you tell me there were 5 Nigerians that sank in that American city, do you know I would lose sleep over it? But if you tell me that a luxury bus jumped into a river somewhere between Enugu and Abakaliki, suddenly I'm not at rest. I start wondering what's wrong with our drivers. I start wondering what's wrong with Federal Road Safety Commission. How come they are checking fire extinguisher of a private car when the luxury bus driver is over speeding? I start getting concerned. Why? Because what we know we call the son of the soil. I have an umbilical cord to the soil. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? Yes. Because of that, I can prophesy concerning my nation and good will come upon the nation. I'm talking about faith. By faith itself, we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God. That is what will be tomorrow. It will be a result of what you and I are doing in agreement with what God has said today. Do you follow my point? I can't predict what the European nation will be like tomorrow. I can't speak positively about them. But I can say something about Nigeria. Let me tell you a number of things about Nigeria. Number one, there is what we call the salt of the earth. I know me, I'm a salt of Nigerian earth. I know many of my friends and associates who are salt of Nigerian earth. And I say boldly and publicly, anyone who will not allow us to prosper, God will judge him harshly and publicly. And that without remedy. And when I say it, it is not a joke. Let the doer of iniquity that hears my voice be afraid. Because God owes some of us the duty to severely punish and eradicate iniquity and corruption in public places, just so that the salt. Do you get my point? Jesus himself said something. He said, no one lights a light and puts it under a basket or a bushel. Listen, God has lit my light. There are many men that I teach. There are many people I associate with who I know God has lit their lights. And I know anyone who wants to constitute himself into a bushel to hide their light will be judged severely. He says it's a terrible thing to fall into the hand of the living God. If I speak like that, beware. Because terrible things are going to happen to those who want to quench our light. When I say light, I don't mean preacher light. I mean, there are young men who have business ideas. Everyone who stands in the way of production for those people is subject to God's judgment. There are many people who want to do great things to bless their communities. Everyone that will stand in the way of such people is subject to God's harsh treatment. It's a terrible thing, he says, to fall into the hands of the living God. I know what I am saying. Are you getting my point? I can say this boldly because I am a son of the soil. I have an umbilical attachment to this country. There is this weight of energy, it's called salt of the earth, that we are pouring into this nation. And I'm declaring again that good shall come upon this land. No, he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? They said, come and see. And he came and he saw. And as soon as he came, Jesus saw Nathanael and said, behold, a true Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And the man said, how did you know? He said, when you were yet under the tree, I saw you.
You knew I was under the tree? He said, my Lord and my God. He said, oh, because of this small word of knowledge you believe. He said, you will yet see greater things. Listen to me. From this country, you will yet see greater things. You will yet see greater things. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books, and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.